This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You are listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila, and it is 6:03. So we are going to be starting off our show with, I think we've been hearing a lot of questions recently about the Ministry of Health's new guidelines and policies. They're in the news a lot. So we've been hearing a bunch about contact tracing, about quarantining at home. And each time we talk about it, even when we speak to people who have gone through it, there is this lingering sense of, yeah, but, you know, we're not precisely sure what's going on. So it feels as if there is a little bit of an informational or communication breakdown. So today, we just wanted to address that.
I think often it feels like we get the press briefings from the DG, we have the daily numbers released, but often when it comes to things like the SOPs, the intricacies of what is actually happening on the ground, we get very piecemeal information, or it's also fair to say that the information is there, but often there's so much of it that we can't always process or put together a picture of what's happening.
Yeah, and I think particularly with the caseload rising, that has also corresponded with, it's very weird, it's corresponded with a sense of apathy. I think a lot of people have somehow, we've been talking about it a lot this week actually, this idea of becoming completely normalized with the thousands of cases that we're hearing daily. Whereas if you look back to the same time last year, if you heard of one or two cases in a community, everybody would be freaking out and barricading their homes. And, you know, now with the numbers being what they are, I think there is this sense of, I don't know, I think it's just exhaustion. We spoke about that earlier. So on the one hand, you have apathy, but on the other hand, you still have that level of anxiety. And I think that anxiety can be made worse when you don't know exactly what the plan is, exactly what the procedures are, and why you have to do it. So we wanted to hear directly, I think, from the Ministry of Health in terms of what it is that they're planning to do, or rather what they've put in place, and how it's going to be enacted. So that's something that we're going to be discussing. We will have on the line with us Datin Dr. Noria Binti Hajib, who is the head of department at the Cheras District Health Office. Actually, we have her on now. So we're crossing over to her now. Dr. Noria, thank you so much for speaking with us. So to start off, contact tracing has been key to curbing the virus throughout the pandemic. What is the process like for MOH to trace close contacts when a positive case is detected?
Before we go to the close contact tracing, I'd like to explain regarding how we work. Whenever we have positive cases, normally we are getting the notification from few various means like the general practitioner or doctors from health clinics or doctors from hospital should have doing the notification regarding the COVID-19 or any other communicable diseases which is already stated, or either call to the bilik gerakan of the nearby district health office, followed by email or fax of the form, notification form. So following that, we have to do investigation. Once bilik gerakan receives the notification, so we have to verify the notification form, the names, you know, the state, the address, and subsequently then only we investigate that case, positive case. Once we investigate the positive cases, we also have to look for the close contact of this of that positive cases, or we call it index case. So there are three major categories to find out close contacts. The first one, we would like to know what are the household contacts of the positive case? What are the, or who are the individual from the workplace or institution where the positive cases work or stay, or social contacts? Once we got that close contact, so then only we have to call them for doing the swab or screening test. That is how we are doing the close contact.
So, Dr. Noria, what has been the ministry's biggest challenge when it comes to contact tracing?
I can say a few things, the challenges when my staff at the CPRC district health office or Bilik Gerakan, what we commonly have, the challenges are like language barrier. As you know, in Klang Valley, there are many non-Malaysian. The language barrier is a problem to the staff at the CPRC health district office. They can't really understand Malay or English, you know. So that's difficult for us to get the proper information that we want together. Second one is the not cooperative. So this is where it's hard for us because they might have some information. And then the third one, I can get the probably they can't recall where he or she went for previous 14 days because we would like to have 14 days movement history from the onset case. So this is how sometimes, especially for those elderly or children, and this might need help from the guardian to gather the information. These are three that I might say are the challenges in getting the contact tracing individual. Yeah.
So just looking at your clinic then, how has it been like for you? Has it become busier with this uprising cases?
Yeah, as you know, COVID-19 have been in Malaysia since last year, somewhere around February. And currently we are in the third wave, right? So, and to tell the truth, yeah, it is getting more and more cases that we have to handle, more notification that we receive per day that we would like to verify, investigate and find out the close contact. The burden is somehow getting more. Yeah, because this is what we worry about. As we all know, DG, Minister of Health mentioning, the virus are already in the community. So those who have symptoms should have come forward to have get tested. This is how I can see the burden is more and more. Yeah.
And have you heard from your other colleagues in other places? Do you think the logistics of managing the pandemic is in KL compared to other places is different?
Yeah, I understand. I can see the burden of district health office in Klang Valley, per se, like Kuala Lumpur, Putrajaya and Selangor, of course, higher burden compared to those like perhaps like Sarawak, where else, maybe Kelantan. Yeah. So how to overcome this to help other district health office or other state level? We have an instruction from the Ministry of Health to deploy certain category of staff to help those needed. Of course, we have help from like in Kuala Lumpur State Department. We have doctors from the perubatan side, doctors and or paramedic from the dental side to help us help us in terms of managing in during the sampling. So many other activities that they can help. That's why I'm saying like helping public health side in mass sampling, yeah, and contact tracing as well.
On the line with us today is Datin Dr. Noria Hajib, who is the head of department at the Cheras District Health Office, speaking to us about the challenges that they've been facing in contact tracing. And this is just part of a larger conversation we want to have about the kinds of shifts in practice and some of the headlines that we've been seeing resulting from the MOH recently. After this, we'll be back to talk about the differences between home quarantine, hospitals and quarantine centres. If you have any questions about how district health officers or the MOH even is handling the crisis at the moment, call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
We're coming up to 6:15 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. We're continuing our conversation now with Datin Dr. Noria Hajib, who is the head of department at the Cheras District Health Office. Earlier on, we spoke mostly about the challenges involved in contact tracing, which is actually something that we'll be revisiting later on in the show. But now, I think the other thing that's been in the news lately has been home quarantine. Dr. Noria, how would someone know when to home quarantine versus when they need to be admitted into a hospital or a quarantine center?
So actually, upon diagnosing, often someone had been told that he or she is positive or diagnosed of COVID-19 and case investigation being conducted by the my staff at the CPRC health office or other district health office. So there are assessment of risk, early risk stratification, you see. So based on the severity or clinical symptom that the cases have, so we can categorize it into category 1, 2, 3 or 4. So if they fall into category 3, 4 and 5, normally we will have to discuss with infectious disease physician at the hospital to be admitted, because they have the symptoms and need warranted close care at the hospital level. The current policy already dictates that category 1 and 2 recently can be isolated at home. It is depend on the several criteria. So the cases who doesn't fit with the criteria, the one can be quarantined. Should be warded at hospital, and those to be quarantined at home, we will ask them to be assessed further. And actually, currently we have this what we call it CAC, COVID Assessment Center. For those at category 1 and 2, they are eligible to be at home, but with close monitoring.
So let's say you are doing the home quarantine. How does a patient know when they need to call the health ministry?
So actually what has been done here in Cheras area, currently we have already opened up CAC or COVID Assessment Center. Quite recent, we have already started operationalized on 18 this just recent last Monday. So when we got the list of category 1 and 2, we will call this, with category 1, we advise them to monitor their symptoms daily via the MySejahtera apps. For those with category 2, our paramedic or staff at the CAC center, we call them every day. We want to know what are their status. If they fall worsening condition, over here, apparently we would like them to, if they are in quite a bad condition, maybe after office hour, the CAC is is already closed, you'd like them to call the 999 so that the MECC team will respond. But however, there is an initiative at the Kuala Lumpur Health Department. We'll be having this what we call call center. So meaning that we will give the number, hotline number, to patient category 1 and 2. If they have problem, then they can call that number instead of MECC number 999. We're going forward to have that TACC call center instead of MECC, which is based at the hospital. Yeah. So we normally advise the patient cat 1 and category 2 accordingly. They have a problem, just call to the hotline number given by the CACC, by CAC or CACC. The CAC is during working hours. Subsequently, the CACC number will be given. This is because we don't want to burden the MECC hotline, because the MECC number normally they are also handling any emergency cases, not only COVID, right? For example, maybe the motor vehicle accident, you know, that kind of thing. So we were giving the number hotline for CACC. This is but only for the Kuala Lumpur area, yeah.
And another question that has come up is, if home quarantine patients are feeling very ill, if they take a turn for that, what should they do? What are the symptoms that I should be paying attention to as to when I should call the CACC or the CPRC?
So is it for guideline for the patient who are at home, basically the category one, those who are asymptomatic at all, no fever, you know, no sore throat, no shortness of breath, like something like that. But category one, normally those with a bit of mild symptom, but not showing any pneumonia. This is perhaps our patient in category two would like to know where, as you're asking just now, where and when, I mean, when should call that hotline number, yeah? In category two, also they fall into mild and moderate. This is by clinical staging, you know. So, like category two, mild, probably someone who are at home only just having sore throat or runny nose, but no fever or no shortness of breath, you know. But it, also like coughing with no fever or no shortness of breath. So, if somehow, okay, I can still monitoring myself, something like that. But if worsening condition, like having fever, maybe perhaps you, he or she at day two home quarantine, she having fever and having difficulty in breathing, chest pain, that consider a warning sign, we call it. But I understand patients out there, quite curious, how should I call? This is what we can guide them. This is how perhaps they can call the hotline first. Doctor or the staff who are on over the phone or working on that or on duty. So what we want is patient to tell us, to tell the symptom, not to hide the symptom, that kind of thing. But we need what we need. Yeah.
So what are the differences between quarantining at home versus quarantining at, say, MEPS or at the hospital?
The decision of being to be placed at the at home or at MEPS, as you know, MEPS is a pusat quarantine and risiko rendah. They are actually positive patient and also quarantine as well. As of now, normally at the MAIF, what I was understand is still those who are positive cases, perhaps like the mild one, yeah, they are the ones who decide where to put the cases. It basically, yeah, to me, it's same. Quarantine is quite similar as the MAIF and the at home, because at MAIF also, the staff there also monitor the patient daily as well. Once they got worsening, they will have to be in hospital. Yeah, same like if you are being quarantined or isolated at home. But of course, there are conditions whereby perhaps the patient are pediatric age group. Yeah, because you didn't ask just now, is the patient category 1 and 2A, they are children, pediatric age group, we would like to have the carer. That's why in order to be placed quarantined at home, our staff will do further assess whether the home environment are suitable, such as having proper quarantine bed, preferably to have access bathroom. If staying alone, are there any carer to look for the case or something like that? Yeah.
So, what are the results that you are hoping to see from the introduction of the home quarantine?
So, actually, the aim of quarantine at home is actually because we already understood there are so many cases at the hospital. that the hospital also cannot cope. So that's why with the mild cases, as a directive from the Ministry of Health, we were trying to advise the client, the patient, sorry, in this case, to be at home. With this certain criteria, this is how we still had a somehow assessment of cases. For if some probably they are mild, but with not fit these criteria to be at home quarantine, they are still should be ward at the hospital. So somehow we actually help the hospital care of COVID-19 patients.
So for those positive patients who are now subjected to home quarantine, but are also feeling anxious about the fact that they might be infecting family members, what advice would you give them?
So to overcome the worries about other family members, which is and with having positive members at home, Ministry of Health actually give a few advices. So first one, like you must have, like I told you earlier on, you should have a room, isolated room, not to be shared by other family members, preferably with the attached bathroom. But of course, if it should be shared bathroom, you should have a regular disinfection of the common area, like tap or something, or surfaces which is shared with other family members. Not to talk very close, to wear masks, both the case as well as the other family members. Talk with distance 1 meter or more, and not sharing the utensil, regular hand washing with water and soap or hand sanitizer. But we must... what we want to address, or what you call to tell those who are staying at home, should do their assessment, self-assessment, and update at the My Sejahtera application daily. Of course, with the worsening condition, as I told, you can call 999 or CACC hotline. That is the initiative at the Kuala Lumpur State Department. These advices actually can be accessed at our Facebook, Ministry of Health Facebook. But for carer, perhaps you would like to know what our advice is. A carer who looking after the positive cases, so are at home quarantine. So these are a few advices, like do not share the room, of course, as I mentioned just now. Isolate yourself. And not to share the same area. Truly isolate. I understand it's quite tough, right? For 10 days, that kind of thing. Not sharing the utensil. If whatsoever you want to handle, please wear the glove. Regular wash hand, and then. Don't share, just already mentioned, don't share utensil like plate, cups, towels, electronic gadget, handphone with the patient. Always wear mask and distancing. Yeah.
Dr. Noria, thank you so much for speaking with us this evening. That was Datin Dr. Noria Hajib, who is the head of department at the Cheras District Health Office, giving us more insight, I think, from the perspective of somebody working on the ground right now about the SOPs that are being practiced, whether it's for home quarantine, whether it's for contact tracing. So we want to know, have you had any questions on this? Is there anything else that we can help clarify for you? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.